After Buzzers, you're watching The Americans After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello and good evening, and welcome to The Americans After Show on After Buzz. Tonight we will be reviewing the episode 8, The Magic of David Copperfield 5, The Statue of Liberty Disappears. The longest title I've ever had to say in my life. All right. I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. That's M-S-E-D-R-I-A-N-S-N-O-W. And here's my co-host.
And I'm James Gressel. You can follow me on Twitter at James Gressel.
All right. So, first thoughts.
I really, really liked this episode. I thought it was getting back to more of what I've always really loved about the show, which is kind of a quiet intensity that undercuts the kind of family drama aspect of it. It felt kind of more classic Americans, even though we're moving forward in a lot of plot lines that we kind of took a backseat because of Martha. It felt much more kind of like, you know, the show hitting all the things that it does well.
Yeah, it was kind of like a back to basics. And Martha's storyline was like, and we're done.
Yeah, they got her on the plane in the teaser, and she's off.
Yeah, I'm like, Allison Wright, are we never going to see you again? So good to interview you last year. Come back. I really enjoyed this episode as well. I thought they had a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of me, like, shooting my hands up in the air. There was also a big fear that we weren't going to see the very last 2 minutes of the episode.
Some technical problems.
Technical difficulties. Fortunately, we were able to come through and catch that.
Yeah,
that
would have been very important last few minutes.
That would have been really awkward. Yes. So, but I guess just to start things off with Martha, you know, it starts with her just washing her face and getting ready and basically leaving the country in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and that's
the last we see of her.
Yeah, I really loved that whole sequence and just how silent it was. And there was no music, there was no dialogue. All the sound design I thought was very exact and kind of up in the mix a little bit. You heard when they were cutting the toast and spreading the butter and when she was watching her face. Everything was amplified, even in these really quiet moments. And I thought that really lent to the tension between all the characters involved, especially Martha and Philip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very, very good scene.
It was a very bittersweet way to send her off. It was just kind of, we don't really get that much more time with her. We don't really get to see, like, any more resistance from her. It's kind of, like, set in stone that this is what's going to happen.
Right.
And then also with, am I to take it, I don't know, I had this feeling like the peanut butter? No.
I think what I read that as, and I kind of expected her to say it, was I think she was looking at that wondering if there would be peanut butter in Russia.
Well, okay.
I think she's like, it's like Jif peanut butter, and it's like such a classic, like, American thing.
Huh.
And she's like, I wonder, that's how I kind of read it, was like, I wonder if I'll be able to get this in Russia. Like, this simple pleasure.
For a split second, I thought maybe they put
the rat
in the Jif.
I thought so, too. For a half a second, I thought so, too.
I was like, that's an interesting way, so she doesn't question it, but...
Yeah.
But we were right with Tatiana using the diseased rat as also the same form of transportation for Martha.
Yeah, there was that emphasis when Philip's packing the trunk on the second bag that I thought Martha's bag, or what seemed
the
like Martha's
one.
Bag. Yeah, he just kind of tosses in there, lays down, and he very gingerly sets in the other bag, which Martha never touches. It goes from Philip to the trunk to, I think, Gabriel, and then to the pilot.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, the implication there is that the rat is in that bag.
Yeah, so that was...
But not in Martha.
Not in Martha, thank goodness, because that was the feeling.
So I was wrong on that one, yeah.
But, it was good to see them also figure out a different way of transporting the bioweapons, because giving it to some random pilot on a public plane didn't seem to be working. He didn't seem to want to be doing it very much. So if that's how they're going to do it from now on, that'll be interesting to see as well. But did you also feel for like a split second when the plane took off that it was just going to explode?
There was that feeling, like, what's going to go wrong?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know how much that is just kind of like spy fiction, I guess, kind of conditioning us to expect these kind of big moments. But I think that that's just something that the show does so well, is play off of those expectations, and it uses that tension to keep that scene so compelling when very little, I mean, like, a lot happens, but the way that they do it is so subdued and they let that kind of those kind of expectations of some big moment create that suspense when everything kind of goes off without a hitch.
Yeah, and we can actually credit the suspense of this episode to Matthew Rhys, who was also serving double duty as director and actor.
So good.
So kudos to you, sir. Yeah. I know Stan, whose real name I am blanking on at this moment.
Noah Emmerich.
Directed last season as well. So everyone's kind of taking their turns at the head of the wheel. Mm-hmm. So kudos to them. But just jumping up from that, because it was so quick, and I do hope we kind of get to catch up with Martha later. Mm-hmm. Philip kind of makes it clear that he's showing a lot of remorse for things. And this was a very Philip and Elizabeth heavy episode.
For sure.
We briefly touched on the Residentura. We briefly touch on Stan and Agent Gad and all of that. But mainly what we were talking about was how these situations and the interactions with their agents were affecting not only Philip and Elizabeth as people, but their relationship overall. Mm-hmm. So to see Philip meet with Gabriel a little bit later in the episode and request that Martha's family be contacted as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that?
I thought that it was a lot of scenes in this episode, that one included, were like building tension mm-hmm. within the characters, within situations, and delaying a kind of release and just bottling everything up. Mm-hmm. And I think Philip all season has been looking for a kind of release and to kind of unload his guilt about Martha. I think that's more what he's looking for than he cares more about what his feelings are, I think, than whether or not her parents really think she's dead. He's looking for some sort of absolution, I think, for getting Martha out. He's so relieved when he hears that Stan was actually looking for her. And I think that
to be right,
to be right. Exactly. So when he's talking to Gabriel, he's not concerned about Martha's parents. I don't think at that point he's even really concerned about Martha. I think he just wants to feel better.
You don't think that he has some, because he brought up a point later in the episode when he was talking to Elizabeth about how they aren't just agents, they're human beings. So yeah, I think it is about him finding absolution, but it is also, I think, a certain level of sincere caring that comes from it, you know, of not just seeing somebody as like a puppet, but as an actual person, which he's shown before with past agents.
Yeah, I think that that's something that that Paige is struggling with too.
We'll get to her, but
the fact that this conflict between these people being people that they have relationships with and them as agents is something that everybody is touching on that. It goes all the way down. Every single character is struggling with that relationship in one way or another. Most obviously with Philip, but I think that every character has that conflict in this episode. It's a very thematically tight episode,
I thought. It was very well structured. And just to jump from that, since we did kind of mention that the FBI was on Martha's tail, to go into Stan before we get into the big blow-ups that happened between Philip and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
We find them in the situation room.
Yeah, the vault.
Breaking things down and kind of coming to the slow discovery that Martha is gone.
Yeah, they've lost. Yeah.
It's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Gad also kind of coming to the realization more so that not only is he really screwed things up, but that he's also probably out of a job.
Right. His career is over. Sure.
Yeah. And so that was a little sad and bittersweet to see that, you know, it's over for Gad.
Yeah. And Stan tries so hard to kind of comfort him, and he's so bad at it.
He's so bad. I love Stan trying to comfort people because it always leads to like just really hilarious moments when he's telling the story about the guy who collected stamps and Frank Gad's face when he's telling him the story. Like, you really think I'm gonna go up there and they're gonna be like, oh, we hear you drink scotch.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about that.
I thought that there were a lot of kind of humorous moments throughout this episode that kind of undercut that tension, and a lot of them had to do with Stan.
Yeah.
But in that scene in the vault, they're talking about how Adderholt's talking about how, like, I couldn't figure it out even when I was looking for it when we were having dinner and everything. And they talk about how she was good at it.
They made it sound like she was some super spy. And I felt really bad for Martha in that moment because it was, obvious that this was somebody who had just been like lied to so much that she believed for a long time that what she was doing was to protect the fellow U.S. government. Mm-hmm. And then when she found out that it wasn't the case, then she believed that the man that she loved would not right. hurt her.
And I think that's the key to it, especially in this episode where there is such a conflict between humanity and treating these people more for, you know, purely for what they are information-wise.
Yeah.
I think the fact that they treat Martha almost like a super spy when all she really did was care about Clark.
Someone else, yeah.
And that's what made her, so good at spying in a way. And I thought that particular point very interesting when everything else is trying to push against that kind of passion and personal connection.
Yeah, it kind of comes up later with Lisa and Elizabeth and Lisa's interaction, how if you don't have that kind of passion built into it, that kind of, I would die for you. Oh, Prince, rest in peace. sorry, I just like, I would die for you. I love that song. Then it's harder to wrangle the person. And Elizabeth definitely came up with that with Lisa, who we hadn't seen in a while, but before we would jump into that. Having Stan kind of play the comic relief was fun. It was fun to see him in that scene where he finally does start to notice that his beer is running out.
Yeah. He just goes and steals
and
Phillips.
He just takes it.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. One, you just bolt into this person's house. Two, you open up their fridge. Mm-hmm. You take out the entire six pack of beer. Mm-hmm. You open one yourself before he's even opened his. Mm-hmm. You're chugging it. You complain about your wife. You're getting a divorce. It's official. And then you bolt with the six pack of beer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anyone that I'm that close to that. No one. My own mother would not do that.
And this is when their relationship is like strained too.
Exactly. Like he doesn't even feel comfortable staying over for dinner, but he feels completely comfortable stealing a six pack of beer. I guess. Sure.
Yeah. I think it's just one more thing where like, you know, that personal relationship is strained and it leads to Stan kind of not being good at his job, not being good at counterintelligence. It's another way that kind of conflict comes out, even in that scene.
What you mean when it comes to Philip and Elizabeth not being aware?
Well, when it comes to Stan not being aware of Philip and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, if Stan had started talking about Martha, Philip is, you know, in such a place where he might have, you know,
slipped?
Given something up. Maybe not slip, but like, you know, if Stan were more on, you know, maybe, you know, if he were more open, maybe Philip would start opening up a little bit. There could have been some kind of connection there. But and that's purely speculative. But I just think that in an episode where there's so many thematic and ties, that scene, I think, works totally with everything else, showing that you need to have a personal connection to really understand people and really kind of see where they are, even in a scene that's basically a joke about beer.
Well, I think they still have that personal connection, even when it's strained. I think Philip and Elizabeth just happened to lie in Stan's blind spot. I mean, they're so close.
Sure.
That I guess for them, it has been like about 3.5 years. I don't think he would see them as a threat. Like they're so close to him. These are people that
right.
has, you know, grown up with his children.
Yeah.
That I don't think it wouldn't even faze him to believe that. It's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like Breaking Bad.
Yeah. You know, sure. I didn't expect, you know. I don't expect Stan to have some sort of epiphany over a beer or anything.
Yeah.
But, I just found that, you know, further interesting.
Yeah, that he just can't see it.
Right.
I guess, yeah. But to jump into, so there's a moment between Gad and Stan at the end when they're talking and Gad has been let go during the 7-month jump, which we'll go to as well, where he said something about Oleg's brother. And I was kind of confused by it.
I was too.
Did they have something to do with his brother dying?
That's kind of,
did he just have empathy for
it? I think it was just empathy for it. I think that was just another point of kind of personal connection between him and Oleg.
And he's basically saying, like, you cannot have it. You cannot forget who these people are.
Right.
And then to jump in from that, from the whole idea of Oleg's brother to Tatiana's brother, mm-hmm. who's being sent into war.
Right.
That was, I found that to be an odd moment.
I
don't feel much for Tatiana.
No.
She just hasn't really been developed in a way. Mm-hmm. And that's no offense to the writers. It's just that they haven't really had time to develop her in a way that makes me care about her. It took a long time for me to care about Oleg as well. Yeah. So, and I'm still like only halfway there, but, I am struggling a little bit with those storylines now that there is no Nina.
Mm-hmm. I
care a little bit less.
I think where I got hung up, and I agree, but mm-hmm. I think where I got hung up on it was that scene was from Tatiana's point of view. It was very much her scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like you said, there's just not much of a connection there for me.
Yeah.
If that scene had been, if we had been with Oleg in that scene and mm-hmm. he had come in and had, it would be him responding to her news
mm-hmm.
in kind of relating it back to his brother, and we were kind of there with Oleg instead of there with Tatiana. I mm-hmm. think that would have played a little bit better with an audience just because we have more of a connection with Oleg. But they have to lay the ground. If they're laying the groundwork with Tatiana somehow, I guess they have to start somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if that's what they want to do is make her more important or have her own storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't really need it. But yeah. if they can do it in a way that makes it interesting, then I'm all there for it. But if they dropped that storyline for the rest of the season, I wouldn't care. It's just kind of like when they did drop the Lisa storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised to see her reappear mm-hmm. in this episode.
They also mentioned the girl.
Young-hee?
No. The Kimmy. The girl, the like young girl that Philip was with.
Yeah.
So they picked up a couple of threads.
Did they mention that?
I think that's when Philip meets Gabriel at the bar. He hands him the tape.
Oh, the Breland bug.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. They're still. Mm-hmm. Oh, see, because when they said the Breland bug, I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Right.
So that makes sense then. So if they're just doing that and then the other one that he told me.
Young-hee.
Which I'm still not entirely sure how she serves.
I don't remember what it is she does. But that's that scene with her and Elizabeth.
I feel like that's going to bite Elizabeth in the ass. Because I feel like her relationship with Young-hee is a genuine friendship.
But that's what I was going to say. Like, Elizabeth's female agents, like hurt, not hurt me, but like I feel for them in a way that I don't the agents that are worked in a more sexual way,
mm-hmm.
because Elizabeth is so good at developing those friendships.
Yeah.
And they are like, that seems so genuine.
Yeah.
But you know Elizabeth and you know that she's just
working. I think this might be a little different. I think she might be caught off guard by Young-hee, because the thing about Lisa, because you feel that kind of comfort she has with Lisa,
mm-hmm.
but it's also built in kind of like a pain.
Yeah.
So they're both recovering alcoholics is the story that Elizabeth is playing with her. And it didn't, when she killed her,
mm-hmm.
she didn't seem to have much remorse about it, even though I always assumed that she was going to kill the husband. Like, I never thought she would kill Lisa.
I agree.
So that was really heartbreaking for me to see.
Mm-hmm.
But the relationship she has with Young-hee, there isn't really any of that drama. I mean, she would meet Lisa for meetings. Like, they would go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Maybe they would go to discuss things about Jack.
Mm-hmm.
But with Young-hee, she's having like these one-on-one
mm-hmm.
girl outings, going to the movies, going to meet her family, learning a recipe, not only learning a recipe from her, but going
making
and
it
making it at home and telling her daughter it's a friend that taught me it, you know? So I think this is the first time we're really seeing Elizabeth in a relationship with an agent that might potentially make it difficult for her to do her job. Yeah, she might actually get too close.
Right.
So that seeing all those parallels at the same time of like the Lisa storyline coming to an end and the Martha storyline coming to the end, these agents who have such pain that comes with interacting with them, to seeing the Young Hee where it's just all light and Young Hee is just all about having fun and like, let's sneak into the outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
You see those kind of parallels and that the possibility that maybe Elizabeth might not, she may not be able to be so guarded. I would love to see Elizabeth not end up breaking the rules accidentally because she developed feelings for an agent, like friendly feelings, not sexual feelings.
Right. I don't know. I'm still not 100% convinced that it's genuine on her part. I agree with you that it feels that way and it's so close.
Mm-hmm. It feels closer. It feels more like a Gregory situation, but just without the romance. It feels like it's closer to being something real for Elizabeth that she probably really needs.
Oh, I definitely think she really needs it. I mean, obviously, you know, Lisa was threatening to go to the police and all of this, but I think that was a release for she had a lot of stuff bottled up.
Yeah.
And she jumped to that conclusion very quickly.
Yeah. You can tell that. I think right before that happened, I said, everybody's losing it. Because you see her flip out on Paige and basically tell Paige, you cannot have any feelings. Basically telling Paige, you must act like an agent, like you were trained. Mm-hmm. And if you don't care about these people, or if you're feeling hesitant about these people, I no longer care. They must never know that you have any doubts. You see Philip freaking out when Elizabeth comes at him about Est.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend who is in the newer version of Est called Landmark Forum. And a lot of what Elizabeth was saying, I was like, yeah, that sounds 100% right. I've been to that meeting. It doesn't feel as genuine for people who are outside of that circle as it does for people who are in the circle.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems a little bit controlling. It seems a little bit scary. So I can totally understand why she sees like the good in it and also the bad in it. But then I can also see Philip's side as well. Like once you're in it, you're in it. And it's hard to see, you know, the forest for the trees once you're there.
Right.
So
I really liked that scene. When she comes back from the meeting and they have that confrontation, because while they do bring up Gregory and
the mama.
It's really not about them being KGB officers. Like that is them as a married couple having a conflict as a, like that is totally natural to any other kind of American married couple. And I think that, you know, the Statue of Liberty thing, too, plays into this a lot, too. That that speech, the David Copperfield speech at the end about freedom and things.
Immigrant.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth is worried about, kind of, I think, Philip having a little bit too much freedom, having a little bit longer of a leash, I think. And you know, he's asserting himself. He says he wants to start playing hockey again. He wants to, you know, he's distancing himself from her. And I think that that scares her into lashing out a little bit.
Well, I think it's two sides. Like Philip wanting to play hockey again, it's very much like him tying into Russian roots.
I think so.
But going to Est is a very American thing.
Right.
It is tying your emotions into a fiscal situation, which Americans do quite a bit. So I can see, like, there's a weird pull, and that the fact that he doesn't feel comfortable coming to her with these things. But Elizabeth is not historically known for being like the person you come to when you're having some emotional issues.
Right.
If we learn nothing from her reaction to Paige, she does not care about moods. She doesn't care that you're feeling away.
I think though that was all projecting. Like that, I think she was yelling at Paige because she couldn't yell at Philip.
Yeah, and I see that, and I think Paige is very much like Philip, and especially in that moment, I was like, wow, she's acting a lot like Philip in this moment. Yeah,
definitely.
But that's also very much Elizabeth. She does not want to. She does not want to hear about people's feelings. Not to say that she can't be understanding of it, or that she can't be someone that will listen. Mm-hmm. But I can't recall a single, with the exception of the moment when she was shot and she was season one, mm-hmm. and she wasn't sure if she was going to live, and mm-hmm. she spoke to Philip in Russian
yeah.
and asked him to stay with her. Mm-hmm. That's really the only time you get to see her play into any type of emotion or be vulnerable. Like, and not to say that it's not there, but it doesn't seem like she really, she tries, but it's difficult. It's difficult yeah. for her to do it.
Yeah. Even just last week, when they have the conversation about whether or not Philip wants to go with Martha.
Yeah.
And we think that this is this like big reaffirmation of their love for each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what we did. I think both of us thought last week. Mm-hmm. And then they come, you know, now mm-hmm. just, a, you know, a couple days later, however long it is in the show. And they have this big blowout and they're more further apart than they have been in, mm-hmm. you know, a long time.
Yeah. Well, I think especially for Elizabeth, it's difficult. If someone doesn't have a vocabulary, like an emotional vocabulary.
Sure.
It can be incredibly difficult for them to state what they need mm-hmm. and to say, like, this is what I want, but this is how I feel. And Elizabeth doesn't have that.
No.
You know, I think she was, what, 18, 19 when she was married to Philip and sent off to America?
Yeah.
And she had just come from being raped.
Right.
Like, and during her training.
Mm-hmm.
So not only was she defensive because she was in this training, but yeah. also because she had just been attacked by a man and yeah. now she was being thrust into yeah. a new land with a stranger
yeah.
Who was to be her husband mm-hmm. for the rest of her life. So there's always, I think, been a guard up with Elizabeth.
Definitely.
And I think that makes it hard for her to just say clearly, like, this is what I want. She's passive aggressive.
Yeah.
She's incredibly passive aggressive. Whereas Philip can be passive aggressive, but he tends to state what he wants emotionally,
mm-hmm.
and he's not always clear with what he needs outside of that.
Yeah,
you know.
I think as much as it seems like Elizabeth is the one who is always taking action,
mm-hmm.
it's really more Philip in a way, because he's the one who's acting on what's best for him as a person,
mm-hmm.
not as another. This is another person versus agent thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best thing for him as a person was to get Martha out so that she wouldn't get killed or put in jail or yeah. whatever. That was best for Philip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to S is a decision for Philip, and he's acting on that.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth ignores all of this because of those walls that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and I think that obviously she had reason with killing Lisa, but I think that that act, when she comes back to the safe house and, you know, says Lisa's out too, and so casually.
Yeah.
That's asking for help. Yes, yeah. She did.
She seemed drunk.
Yeah, but, which was surprising to me.
Well, you know, I think they like when I wrote Everybody's Losing It, they yeah. were all reaching their breaking points, and kudos to Gabriel for being a much better handler than Margot. Margo?
That's the actor. Margo Martindale is the actress. I forget the character's name. Everybody's going to freak out on Twitter.
Don't freak out on us. You know,
she's been gone for a year.
She's a recurring. Barely. Yeah. Margo. I'm just going to call her Margo Martindale because I can't remember her name right now. And it's 11 o'clock at night here. And I'm a little under the weather, you guys. So give me a break.
It's almost midnight.
It's almost. Don't play Jeopardy music. Wait.
I'm going to remember it like 2 right in the morning.
I know. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night. But she could never see when she's pushing them too far.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabriel saw them sitting there. Philip already had his breakdown time mm-hmm. and time again. And now Elizabeth, the strong one,
mm-hmm.
is sitting there with blood that she has not seen on mm-hmm. her neck, just bleeding mm-hmm. casually, smoking and drunk. And he's like, you know what? You guys need a break.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have 2 assignments. Just take some space and breathe. And I really appreciate Gabriel for knowing when he's pushing them too far. Even when it goes, I think that that's a big thing about Gabriel, is that he's able to sit there and complain with Margot Martindale and say, like, back in my day, basically, you know, I had to yank a man out of his house with his family screaming and throwing him into a car and kill him. And this was a friend of mine.
A friend, yeah.
And that's just what we did. And for her to say, well, it's a different world, you know, it's not their fault, it's not our fault, it's just a different world. And for him to say, well, outside of, like, what I think I could handle when I did their job, like, this is obviously too much for them, which is something that Philip isn't capable of, which is something that Elizabeth isn't capable of. They aren't... Elizabeth tries by going to Est. That was her trying.
Yeah,
you know, she was to trying. See Philip's point of view. But it's one thing to attempt to see someone's point of view. It's another thing to just understand that that's their point of view, and what works for them may not work for you. You know, which is not, I don't think Philip and Elizabeth know how to do that with each other, that they always understand Elizabeth needs structure and formation, and Philip needs emotion and understanding.
Yeah.
They try, but in the end, you know, that pragmatism of Elizabeth comes in and kills it, or the emotion of Philip comes in and kills it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, you can see the cracks are really starting to show after Elizabeth's, you know, speech of Paige, which is this family's going to be destroyed. You know, everything about this family is going to be destroyed if you don't do your job. But we saw at the end, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Like, even though she's doing everything that Elizabeth said she has to do, she's miserable.
Yeah.
And the family, and then you, and I loved just the half a beat that it pauses on Henry after Philip and Elizabeth come in from outside to follow Paige, where he's like, wait a second, what are we, I thought we were...
Poor Henry.
And, yeah.
Every
and
time.
So it's all going to hell.
Well, I was surprised they did a 7-month jump.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Like, yeah. What do you mean?
This, especially like this show, this episode picks up immediately where the last one left off.
The next day.
And so much of this, you know, this show, we thought, you know, like, they don't take these massive
jumps in time.
We follow these stories very kind of, you know, their lives day to day.
Yeah.
And 7 months later, that was one of the biggest surprises in the history of the show. Yeah. I thought.
And the playful music and the happiness and everyone seemed, up until the moment Paige got out of the car. Everyone seemed a little hunky-dory.
Right.
Like, it seemed like Philip was getting to play, like, his hockey again and sharing it with Elizabeth and Henry. Yeah, lost his job, but that's okay. He's going to travel Asia with his wife.
He's going to visit his wife's parents.
They're going to enjoy his time off.
Yeah.
Now Stan can go over there and, like, have a beer and shoot the shit. It's cool. And then you have that monologue that plays that... that Gad says over the course of all the other actions about no matter how nice these people seem, no matter how friendly, and I know you feel for Nina, you feel for Oleg, you feel for Oleg losing Nina the way you lost Nina, and you're afraid to turn him. These people are not your friends.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that Paige is learning about her parents. Yeah.
And that's a tough thing to learn, because it's like the day you realize, I don't know, I might have said this last season on the show, but it's the day you realize that your parents are human. You know, they're not a king or a queen or a god or anything like that. They're not all-powerful and all-knowing. They're very flawed and fragile, and they will screw you over.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not intentionally, but yeah.
Yeah, there's the, earlier in the episode when Philip comes back from dropping Martha off, and he tells the family, like, you know, Dad's gonna be around more. Paige is, I think a little bit relieved, but also because she knows what's going on, she think she's terrified.
Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. And that just keeps coming back to her now that she has this knowledge. that of what her parents are, it's totally turned her life upside down. I think that as a metaphor is great.
Yeah.
And you know, that song, another credit to the music supervisor on The Americans, for finding a period pop song that's so perfect for the scene. Even though it's got a nice fun tempo and melody, it's called The End of the Line. That's mm-hmm. the name of the song. Mm-hmm. And it's not about beginnings.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's 7 months later and you know they've had this alleged vacation or the closest mm-hmm. they're going to get, things are over. Gad's yeah. career is over. And it seems like Paige's relationship with her parents is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just she walks in and she is one of their agents.
Yeah.
And not even a sugarcoated one. Not even like a young he or even a beginning Lisa or a Martha. It's very much like we play mini golf. She's really happy to have a baby. I told her I was excited to babysit.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
And it's devastating. Oh, no. It's yeah. devastating. Because you know that at one point, this relationship was so important to Paige,
mm-hmm.
and it was something that she really cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's turned; her parents have poisoned this.
Yeah, and they could have gone a different way. I think and it's unfortunate that everybody was losing it, because if Elizabeth had just taken a breath,
sure,
if she had just not freaked out on Paige. And not made it so much about, like, the structure of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she could have... If Philip had handled it, which, you know, I hate to say it, but Philip has always done a better job of handling Paige,
mm-hmm.
of explaining things to her in a way that she understands. I mean, mm-hmm. they're very similar. So if he had come in and said, hey, listen, like, we know why you did what we did, and we understand it, but mm-hmm. we need you
yeah.
to do this for us, we just have to understand. We have to always know what they're talking about. It's just for our security. It's for your security. It's just for the safety of the family. Mm-hmm. Whereas Elizabeth comes in more so like, you have destroyed us. You will destroy us if you don't do this. And so,
well, it's the reverse of the Statue of Liberty trick.
Yeah.
Instead of disappearing freedom for a couple minutes,
mm-hmm.
it's the illusion that Paige has it, and Elizabeth taking it away from her.
Mm-hmm.
And now, even though it appears that she has her freedoms, she doesn't really.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's handcuffed by the whole situation.
Yeah. Telling her you have to fake it, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't care about your feelings or your mood. It's rough.
Yeah.
But on that note, shall we go into predictions? There we go.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. All right. Your thoughts on next episode?
Well, I think we're going to get back to the chemical warfare storyline.
Yeah.
And I think that we're, like, it seems that the Pastor Tim stuff is kind of wrapped up.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not either. It was a little bit anticlimactic, but I do hope that the fact that Paige now resents her parents or seems mm-hmm. to... continues to play out. I want to see how this kind of goes forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that we get a little bit more Henry. Like, if Henry kind of yeah. knows what's going on or is kind of gets to suspect things. I want to see, like we got in this episode, I want more of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Henry's going to be the one that blows everything up. I think he's going to say something to Stan.
Yeah.
And they're not going to think anything of it.
They do seem to
kind of
be setting that up. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not going to think anything of it. They're going to do something in front of Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to think anything of it. And it's going to tie into something that Stan's working on. And that's mm-hmm. how they get caught. I've always felt that way. Yeah. I've always felt that Henry's going to be the one that
and he's like, not even going to know
outs
it.
Them. He's not even going to know
yeah.
it. Because they don't trust him. They should just tell Henry the truth. if you're going to tell Paige, of all people... I feel like the chemical warfare thing is going to play into it, especially from seeing the preview. You have some mm-hmm. idea that they might be coming after them. I did have a feeling when Gabriel told them, as much as I appreciated Gabriel giving them the break, I had this like sinking feeling that kind of like Point of No Return, the movie, which was like really bad, but based on the film Nikita, like
mm-hmm.
the moment they say they're going to give you a vacation,
mm-hmm.
which is never a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably going to...
Something big is coming up.
Kill you. Yeah. Like, that's going to be the attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that might be coming up. I'm excited to meet the new director of the FBI.
Counterintelligence.
Counterintelligence. Webster. What do you call him? Yeah. Webster Munchkin.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun to see and how that plays into Stan's dynamic, because sure. I think last week I kind of mentioned like maybe Stan would take over for Dad. So a little bummed that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we might be able to catch up with Martha, but I don't see that happening next episode.
I kind of with what they did with Nina, I kind of hope we're done with Martha.
You kind of hope we're done with Martha?
Yeah.
I don't need that. I don't need the whole Nina thing.
Yeah.
But just a check-in with Martha, mm-hmm. even if it's just to discover that they actually killed her, mm-hmm. I would appreciate that.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I felt more connected to the Martha storyline than to the Nina storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, especially by the end. I agree.
I think that's about it. I don't know if there's anything else, really.
We're building to the end. You know, of the season, and I think that pieces kind of have to start falling into place for where we're going with the end of the season.
Yeah, and the creators kind of mentioned that, you know, I don't think it's going to be season four, but I did read an interview where they're kind of like, you know, we're kind of leading to the end of the
planning
of the series, like where we kind of know that it's going to eventually come to an end, and we're definitely seeing it.
Sure.
So, yeah. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up on that bummer note. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the After Show for the Americans on AfterBuzz TV. I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. And
I'm James Gressel. You can follow me on Twitter at James Gressel and at Practical Folks on YouTube.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm tongue-tied. And we will see you next Wednesday.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.